One hour to go. Show about nothing here on an 80s Throwback Thursday as we celebrate the greatest decade of all. Music, entertainment, fashion, women, men, all of it. Animals. Broadcasting from the Superior Linen Service Studios, fifth generation family owned laundry business. Since 1926, they specialize in hotel, hospitality, and medical linen. Reach out to them at suplinen.com, suplinen.com. Or give them a call at 253-383-2636. Thanks to John McMasters for his $800 donation to raise our total of $22,800 for the Ronald McDonald House. Now, we've talked to John. I'll say this about John, but we've had mutual friends with John. I mean, doesn't it sound like John is maybe in the adult film industry? John McMasters. John, you probably listen. You get a kick out of that. You know, shout out. Hopefully that doesn't prevent us from playing golf. All right. Mike Garofolo coming up here momentarily. I always get a kick out of the text line, the Coors Light text line, keeping Seattle chill. We have it open. People interact with us. You know, 99% of it is we hate you, and that's fine. Hey, yeah, I love that too. Keep them coming. But every now and again, we get the a random text. Someone clearly has texted the station, like earlier today or, you know, whatever. But they're intending the text to be to somebody else. They're trying to text their wife, their husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, what have you. And every now and again, it comes in. And this one came in that I found quite funny from the 612. 612 area code. What is that? Anybody? Top of your head. 612 area code. I'll type in it real quick. 612 area code. I have no idea where that is at. Minnesota. How about that? You would think maybe I would know that. Minnesota. Anyways, I just love the random text. Did Ann send you the picture of me and you and Jake at Freelard Pizza? If so, can you send it to me? Thanks. And then the follow-up. Sorry about that erroneous text. Wrong person. Really, you think? Hey, shout out Freelard Pizza. Great spot. Ethan Stoll. You want some good pie? Freelard Pizza. Good pie. All right, let's get to it. We'll talk a little NFL here. I should mention real quickly, headlines brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. We almost didn't do that, Curtis. We got a lot going on here. You know what they say at Buddy's Goodies and Glass? They got a motto, and they had a motto for years, ladies and gentlemen. It is always 420 at Buddy's. Mariners got an off day tomorrow. They'll start a series with Kansas City. Three cities, 10 games. And see if they can get back into the wild card race here. Four games out, six to play. Kansas City right now leads Oakland 2-1. The Angels on top of the White Sox by a score of 2-0. Cincinnati leading Pittsburgh 1-0. All right, let's go to New Jersey. Ladies and gentlemen, he was up early this morning on Good Morning Football wearing loafers with no socks. It's Mike Garofolo from the NFL Network, all brought to you by Salmon Service Centers.
I was up early, and then I had a funeral.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And well, that's my friend's father passed away, and, so I just got home from that, and I'm like, I am wiped, and I'm trying to figure out why I was wiped, and I realized like I already worked like early today.
Yeah,
we were on a conference call at 5:30 a.m. That's why I'm tired. So I'm waiting for my coffee to come down.
Well.
And so keep vamping because you can hear my daughter in the background, but I need this coffee. So I'm just,
that's okay. Yeah, you do whatever you got to do.
Coffee
it up, my friend. Get yourself a John Wayne. You know what a John Wayne is, right?
No, I'm betting there's alcohol involved, though.
No. A depth charger, a John Wayne. There's other names for it. It's coffee with one or two shots of espresso in it.
I've heard it called the red eye.
The red eye? That's another one? Yeah, there you go.
Which you often need if you get off a red eye. I don't know how many times you fly east in a given year, but it always, you know, you take the red eye and you're like, oh, it's great. I'll be, you know, home by 9 a.m. or something. You're just dead for an entire day. And you're like, well, my thing is I don't want to lose the whole day, right? Like if you fly late morning, early afternoon, it's like the day never existed, right? Because you're going to the airport, you're on the plane, you lose the 3 hours, you wake up or you get off the plane, you're like, this day never even happened. I, you know, you're only afforded so many days on this earth. I don't want to lose any.
Well, you know, we did it to Minneapolis this year because we have a family cabin up in the great northern woods of Minnesota, and we did it. You know, we were left on a red eye. But, you know, it's the one thing when you're an adult and it's just you. When you're doing with kids, it's just not good. It's just, it never ends up well.
No.
Because they're done.
And now that I have kids, it's not like, see, I used to come home. It's just like, you know what? I'm just going to crash. You can't do that. Now you got to watch the kids. So,
right.
Yeah, I think I'm going to be taking those day-killing late morning, early afternoon flights next time I got to come back from the West Coast.
All right, so you're on. What was the big topic du jour on Good Morning Football today?
Well, we previewed a lot of Giants, Washington tonight here, which is not maybe the most scintillating game for a lot of folks around the country, but you know, it's NFC East, it's New York market, it'll rate. So we pumped it pretty good. You know, I thought the Giants, I still think the Giants are going to be better than people think. I just happen to think that was a good Denver team.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned to you guys, I got Denver, you know, as a solid wild card team. I mean, you can't pick them to win the division because, I don't know if you noticed, Kansas City's pretty damn good, but didn't surprise me that Denver came out and played strong. So, you know, everybody down on the Giants, I think you're not giving enough credit to what Denver is able to do. So we'll see. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
Hey, Fitzpatrick out for a period of time with the hip injury. Why did they ultimately not go with Cam Newton? Obviously, the history in Carolina with Ron Rivera and him.
Because you bring in Cam and you got to kind of redo everything, right? Like, you got to kind of do it. You know, you got to play to his strengths and all this stuff. And Taylor Heineke is going to be able to come in and practice the things that you've been practicing, you know, over the summer. And by the way, Heineke played pretty well last year. He showed up, got off the bus, was playing a couple of days later, and played pretty well. You remember that clip of Chase Young? He was mic'd up for that game. I can't remember what game it was. It was a Carolina game, maybe? I think I covered that game late in the year, and he played well, whatever it was. And you got Chase Young on the mic'd up saying he's calling him Heineke with a high-pitched voice. They were impressed the way he was able to do things, and so now you had a whole summer of actually being in camp with the team. They think he's going to be able to play well. So, you know, I've seen worse backup quarterbacks. I have.
What was the – if you look back on week one, who were the teams that impressed you guys the most?
Yeah, I mean, it's Arizona. This division is just somebody. If somebody's going to finish last in the NFC West, and I'm going to feel really bad for that team. Because, I mean, just as you guys know, top to bottom, take out any one of those teams and throw them in the NFC East. Because I got a feeling we're heading down the same path with the NFC East, right? Because you got Washington lost Fitzpatrick, and I like Heineke, but, you know, they're not going 14-3 with Heineke. The Giants are, we'll see. I mean, again, I still think they're better, but they're still not, again, 14-3. Dallas has got its injury woes again, it seems like, with DeMarcus Lawrence, the latest guy to go down for them. And who did I miss? Eagles. Well, the Eagles are off to – Eagles, I mean, geez, they're happy in Philadelphia. But, you know, again, that team's not running away with it. So you potentially got an NFC West cellar dweller that may have won the NFC East again this year. And Arizona, the way that they played, I mean, that was a complete ball game. I know you folks are interested because their opponent is coming to Seattle this weekend. I don't know what Tennessee takes from that game. I mean, nothing went right for Tennessee. Defensively, there were questions coming into the season. They looked terrible. Offensively, the question was, is Todd Downing going to pick up where Arthur Smith left off as offensive coordinator? Nope, clearly not. Running game was bad. Passing game was bad. Pass protection was bad. I think Tennessee at some point could hit a stride this season, but if I'm the Seahawks, I'm happy I'm getting them right now.
Yeah, that was, that was by far and away the biggest surprise, I think, from week one. Maybe not so much that Arizona beat them. It's just, I think it's in the manner in which Arizona was able to go in there and just handle them. And you just look at this division. I mean, there is, once they get in division play, it's going to be a gauntlet. And it's one of those things, they almost might beat each other up so much that they're not there at the end of the playoffs. It's going to be so good.
Somebody said to me today, yesterday we were talking about this, and said, well, the last place team in the NFC West could go to the playoffs. And I said, yeah, I get what you're saying theoretically, but, you know, it's really going to have to be everybody goes 3-3 in the division, and then you just clean up in non-divisional games, everybody else. I mean, that's the way it's going to have to happen. It doesn't always happen that way. Somebody usually gets the short end of the stick in divisional play. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be like almost, college type importance of winning those games, because again, show me that the, I mean, all these teams are, you know, in a normal setting, it seems, now that Arizona has kind of shown me what they're able to do, these are all like 11 win teams. It's not like, oh, this team's pretty good, they could be on the plus side of 500. I mean, these are 11 plus win teams the way that they play.
And you look at Stafford, I mean, they probably just barely scratched the surface of what they wanted to do in the playbook, but I mean, immediately you just see the difference with having him play quarterback in that offense and McVay being able to dial up a play that goes 65 yards through the air, which he just could not do with Jared Goff. I mean, no disrespect to Jared, but he just can't throw the ball.
He did it. Yeah, he did it at a certain point, and then for whatever reason, he and Goff just kind of, I mean, more so in their opinion, Goff, obviously they made the trade that he just lost his mojo and wasn't it. I remember them dropping, there was a game they played against the Giants here in Jersey, and they were just dropping left and right over the top shots. And they didn't look that way with the last couple of years. And a lot of folks around the league were questioning McVay. They really were.
Sure.
Quietly, privately, whispering. You know, oh, you know, because it's figured him out. That's it. You know, they figured him out. Just like everybody's figuring out Lamar Jackson, everything. They figured him out. Clearly, that's not the case. And you saw it against the Bears, and you'll continue to see it. And, you know, Stafford's a guy that's just, now you start to look back over his career and say, how many wasted years of Matthew Stafford? Because you're really going to see how good he is now that he's on a team with a good offensive coordinator, a good defense, and a running game, and all these things that he didn't have in Detroit, at least not consistently.
Mike Garafolo, NFL Network. He joins us every single week here, brought to you by Salmon Service Center, stocking all things NFL. Hey, I know it's a competing network. I get that. Did you tune in on the Monday night broadcast of the Mannings?
Oh, yeah.
What'd you think?
Yeah. Once they figured it out in the second half. You know, because I know what they were going for. You know, Peyton's goofy, and he did that Peyton's Places, if you saw that. Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff was a little quirky and goofy, and they said, well, let's try to bring that. The problem was people still do want to watch the game, right? Mm-hmm. And people still want to be able to kind of sit there. And when it really got fascinating is when Russ came on in the fourth quarter.
I know.
And you heard how fast these minds work, right? Like, They're putting themselves in the role of Derek Carr or on the other side of the ball, Lamar Jackson, or even the offensive coordinator saying, all right, here's the situation here. Here's what you're expecting from the defense. Here's what you got to call. You can go to the line and hey, you got to call this because if you audible to this, they'll know what you're doing. Blah, blah, blah. It's one of the things that I always laugh at is when people say, the play calling sucked on Sunday. First of all, you know how much goes into play calling, right? And that was a great example of all the things that not only you got to figure out the day after the game where you go, well, they should have called a run. I mean, you got 40 seconds to snap the ball, so you got 10 to 15 to call the damn play. And just to see these guys computing it that fast was incredible. And so when you got that, that's the kind of stuff that people want to see. All right, let me watch the game with these guys. And that's why people love Romo, right? The Carney trick of, hey, here's what's coming. And sometimes Romo's wrong, you know, but more often than not, he's right. And that's what people love. I had Eli at one point said, you know, Mark Andrews has been quiet. Boom. The next ball comes out, goes right to Mark Andrews. It's really fascinating. And I hope that they do that going forward. How many games are they doing?
I think it's 10 games.
Yeah.
I think so, they're doing this week and week three.
Yeah. I also thought it was fascinating that Travis Kelce said, well, I'm not really paying too close of attention because we don't have these guys until whenever. We've got, I don't know, Jacksonville or Tennessee. He said something, and he's like, wait a minute. No, we do have Baltimore this week. Oh, okay, yeah. So, and Peyton just kept needling him. It was good.
I mean, I think there's some stuff they could clean up. I mean, there was some – the best part was in the first half, the director or whoever the producer was, you could hear him over the air. Okay, we're going to go to commercial. 3, 2, 1, send a commercial. Like, that was funny. Yeah. But, like I would have them in the same room instead of being in different parts. I think that would help out a little bit better. And you know what? Let them drink. Let them have a cocktail. Or let them have a beer. Just something. Because, you know, people are sitting at home doing that. And I think that would be fun. And just, I don't know, man. I think it was, their personality's really good. And I think that, you're going to see more people try to do this. And I ultimately think it can be, it's going to be more of a normal thing, I think, moving forward. Because I don't know. I think I know what you and I, I grew up, you know, Pat Summerall and John Madden, Al Michaels, but I just, those voices are, they're going away. And I think that type of entertainment is going to go away.
Well, but they've had these, I don't know. I'm going to disagree with you there. For two reasons. Three reasons. One, the numbers were
four reasons, Mike, okay? Go higher.
Three reasons. Well, I keep going. And I'm probably going to forget all three by the time I try and spit them out. But the numbers weren't great, which was a great illustration of the people like me who are on Twitter and think the world revolves around Twitter. Everybody was fawning over the broadcast, and I'm like, wow, wait till you see the numbers. And the numbers are minuscule, okay? Which is an illustration of, one, people are not really as tuned into Twitter as you think they are, because if they were, they would have been flipping over. I got to see what's going on here.
Right.
The other thing is, I still think that there are a number of people who like a traditional broadcast. And you also, while it was fascinating to me to see, like, Eli Manning's reaction to, wait a minute, they sent the kicker out and they just took a delay because the kicker wasn't ready. And that was great. I don't know that you felt the energy like you feel in a broadcast sometimes. Mm. Sometimes the great announcers will step out. They'll just let you hear the crowd noise because they want you to experience the atmosphere. So I still think that there's people that are in tune to that. And the third thing, God, I can't remember. I can't believe I remember God, all these
unbelievable.
Things.
The third thing, Jesus.
Yeah. The third thing, you better have Peyton and Eli. Because they've done these for, like, the big college games. They've done these, watch along with these other coaches and all this stuff. And it really hasn't been like this. These guys were phenomenal.
Yeah, personalities, for sure. It's got to be the right mix. Like, you can't have whoever, you know, doing those games. You're right. You know, I mean, it's all about – I mean, the big reason is because Peyton's funny, and Eli is sneaky funny, and the guests they brought on were great. I mean, everyone in this city were blown away by how good Russell Wilson was, if you watched it.
Well, that's what I was just going to get to, which is – and I had somebody ask me, like, oh, I couldn't believe how – you know, because Russ is usually – I said, yeah, but Russ is usually talking to dotes like me, right?
Yes.
Like, and you're not going to – you know, it's – I've always said the best interviewer in all of radio outside of Puck is, Howard Stern, right? And the interview is over before anybody even walks in there because they know who they're right. Stern's got skins on the wall, right? And they know that the guard's going to go down the way that it would not go down for anybody else. And it's the same thing. You know, you're talking to these guys. Yeah, you're still on air, and yeah, you're still trying to do the guarded persona and not give away too much. But when you've got a Hall of Famer and a probably not Hall of Famer, at least not in the short term, Eli Manning, but a two-time Super Bowl winner, these guys are the guard's going to go down. And you saw that with Russ, and you're probably going to see that with more guests going forward.
You know, Curtis brought up a good point, and we actually talked about this week. Because he wants to impress Peyton. That's why he was so good. That was a great point. I mean, yeah, he looks up to Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
I think that's why he wanted to kind of come across and impress him. But he was good. Hey, I have a bet with Curtis, and then we have these little post-it notes that we put up on a board. We make bold predictions that usually don't ever come true, but my bold prediction is this. Next season, your next USC football coach will be Urban Meyer. By week 9 this year, when he hasn't won a game, you'll start to hear the rumblings of the health concerns. And, gotta step away from the game. And then USC will introduce him as the next football coach. Huh? How about that one, Mike? Bring that up on Good Morning Football.
Yeah, well, I think we did at some point. I think Will Selva mentioned it when he did his news update because Urban was asked about it. And Urban said, no chance, I'm committed here, which, you know, Saban told us he's not going to be the Alabama coach. I mean, that means nothing to me. I think in the long run. And listen, Urban did a little waffling before he took the job, okay? Like, you know, I know that there were some folks tapping their foot in Jacksonville, a little nervous that he was going to back out, you know, maybe not, or maybe decide that he didn't want to do it in this case. But, you know, he had more draft picks than ever. He had an area of the country that was certainly familiar with him, you know, and he had the owner basically promising to build new facilities and all this stuff. So in the end, he decided to do it. But that certainly wasn't a great sign when he didn't exactly dive in head first at the jump. But I would say that, you know, once he committed, he's got to be in it for at least the short term, right? And
oh, yeah, that's a year. He's in it for a year.
I mean, at least 2 years, right? At least two seasons.
It's Urban Meyer. Come on. I mean,
I understand that, but, you know, at some point, you've got to realize what your reputation is. I could be wrong, but
do you think he cares if USC throws $10 million at him and he goes, I don't know. He's going to lose the most amount of games he's ever lost in his coaching career. One season's five. He's going to storm through that this year.
Yeah. Yeah. I that's going to be hard for him to adjust to. And it's already been hard. I can tell. We'll see. I give him 2 years. 2 years. So your bold prediction is nice. It's good. It's bold. Okay. But I'm going to say he is the coach through the 2022 season.
Yeah, so take that, Jason.
Yeah, you know what? He doesn't know. I'm telling you, next season. Just imagine it right now. Hey, did you know Pete Carroll turned 70 yesterday? I spent the first hour of the show talking about why the hell he's 70. Can you look at the guy? How is he 70?
I tell you what, he's got more energy than me at 40. God bless him, and keep going, Pete. I mean, hey, Tom Coughlin was kind of like that. You know how these guys wake up every day and put that much energy into life. I'll never know, but God bless him.
Hey, do you know what? So apparently, he's gone vegan. That's why.
Really? I see, but he was energetic before that. I don't buy that.
Well, I don't know. That's what that's what people are saying on social media, and I believe everything I read on social media. They said he's gone vegan.
Well, that's fine, but don't tell me that, all of a sudden, because he's always been that way. And listen, if that's what, if it makes him feel better, God bless. Do whatever you need to do to get your last, I don't know, third of your life to feel like the first.
Yeah, but you're eating plants every day. Like, that can't be fun.
Listen, Mike, Rob, and I go at this all the time, and Mike, Rob does the whole. Well, now he's trying to tell me he's vegetarian. He's been telling me he's vegan for years.
Oh, because right? they, and yeah, he's because like, oh. he's been eating pasta his whole life and realized there's eggs in pasta now.
No, is there really?
Well, yeah. How do you? There's eggs in pasta.
No, his whole thing is he eats dairy.
And I'm like, dude, then he's not
you
vegan.
You were a hardcore vegan. Yeah. Dairy was bad for you. The only thing you would tell me was like. You had trouble giving it up, and every now and then you got to have some. Yeah. He's like, well, yeah, I've been telling. I said, but you still profess to be a vegan, just one that wasn't 100% committed. Basically, now he's like, no, I never said I was vegan. I'm vegetarian. So you still need some kind of animal product in there.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I mean, I just can't do it. I mean,
I couldn't. Well, I'll tell you why I couldn't do it. Think about all your major holidays. They are
no turkey
centered around. Turkey, hamburgers, I'm blanking on whatever else. Whatever
bacon?
Imagine
not having bacon in your life anymore.
Right, like, oh, here's my grandmother's famous tofu for Christmas. Like, no, that's not a thing. God. Or here's our string bean salad. No, everything, your famous dishes, they have meat in them, okay? Yeah,
hard pass. Come on, we're hunters and gatherers, Mike. We should always remain that way.
It's evolutionary. Mike Rob likes science. Don't argue with science.
All right. Enjoy your weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
There he is. Mike Garofalo, NFL Network, all brought to you by Salmon Service Centers. All right. We'll put the finishing touches on this train wreck coming up next.